Good morning. I'm Dr. William T. Choctaw, and I am delighted to have you with us here this morning. We have a very exciting podcast to, an exciting subject on our podcast this morning to discuss with you. And as always, we like to make sure that each month we strive to you, our listeners, to improve your mental, physical, and spiritual strength by giving you actionable advice, tips, guidance, and information to help you achieve your own personal, professional, and spiritual goals. We consider the health of your mind, body, and spirit paramount in you being able to strengthen the whole person. So sit back and enjoy. We're going to talk some more about high blood pressure, hypertension, and very, very practical type of subject today. How do you measure your blood pressure at home? I've been a practicing physician over 50 years before I retired, and one of the issues that frequently arose in patients who had high blood pressure, even though I was a general surgeon, but I frequently operate on a lot of patients with high blood pressure, but repeatedly the question came up about measuring the blood pressure at home. And so I decided to put together a little overview for my podcast audience about just practical things to do and to be aware of in terms of measuring your blood pressure. As always, I like to go over the beliefs and why we're doing this. We're doing this for the why is I believe that life is about being of service to others. And the whole goal here is that as you get knowledge that you may not have, that you would then use that to help yourself and that you will pay it forward to help others. I believe knowledge is power, that if you want to change things, you want to do things in the world, that you need knowledge to help you with that. And thirdly, I believe that leaders can change the world. So if indeed you are a leader, that the more knowledge you get, the more you're able to have an impact on changing the world. So we're going to continue with our discussion about blood pressure health. And we particularly took out the title or used the title blood pressure health because hypertension or high blood pressure is such an important factor in healthcare in this country, indeed in the world, but certainly in this country. And so it is important that we understand what's involved with that and that we be able to participate as patients, if you will, in ways that we can help ourselves. And indeed, I would argue that of all the other different types of illnesses and or diseases, blood pressure is one that specifically requires, not only needs, but requires active patient participation. Why is that? Very simply. Basically, you have your blood pressure measured. Based on that blood pressure measurement, your physician will prescribe various forms of treatment for you if necessary, or maybe even stop prescribing medication or treatment if there is no need to. So everything centers around the blood pressure measurement, okay? Blood pressure measurement. Now, but here's the deal. The blood pressure measurements that we get when we go to our doctor's office or we go to the hospital or we go to the clinic is not always the most reliable measurement of what our blood pressure is most of the time. Let me say that again. The blood pressure that we take or that we get in terms of a number that we get when we go to the doctor's office or to the hospital or to the clinic is not always the most reliable blood pressure information that we need. Why? Because the blood pressure, our blood pressure in all of us, goes up and down every single day. Every single day. And indeed, it is what that blood pressure is when we're outside of the hospital, outside of the doctor's office or the clinic, that's most important because that's what we're faced with every single day, 24/7. So that's the blood pressure we want to know what's going on or what it is. Is it high? Is it low? If it drops, how low does it drop? If it goes up, how high does it goes up? What are the circumstances that account for it going up? The only way to know that is to be able to measure that blood pressure relatively in real time. In real time. And then we can say, oh, my goodness, my blood pressure goes up at 10 o'clock on a Wednesday morning. What am I doing on a Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock, different from other days, that caused my blood pressure to go up? And so we all sort of have to be our own detectives, if you will. Now, most other diseases don't require that. Blood pressure does. And in addition to that, as you know, but I'll say it again, blood pressure is one of the most serious, most common types of illnesses we have, certainly in this country and other countries too, but certainly in this country, close to about 50% of our population has high blood pressure. Close to about 50%. Men have more high blood pressure than women. Different ethnic groups vary. African Americans have the highest, followed by Caucasian, followed by Asian, followed by Hispanic. But all of us experience high blood pressure in different formats. So we need to drill down in terms of what do you need to do as a patient to help the healthcare community help you? What do you need to do to help your doctor and your nurse taking care of you to help you? And what you can do is provide them accurate and continuous quality information. So let's go back to how do you measure your blood pressure at home? Now, again, I've said a number of times, but I was in practice 50 plus years before retiring. So it gives you an idea about what my age range is. And I can remember back when we used to measure, when I used to do patients' blood pressure who came to my office, you know, we would have a number of pieces of equipment. We would have the blood pressure cuff that wrapped around the patient's arm up above the elbow. We would have a tube that went into a little squeezy ball that we would squeeze to pump up that blood pressure cuff. We would have a stethoscope that the physician had around his or her neck that he would put under the cuff to listen. And then that would be a little spinometer that the physician would watch or the nurse would watch as they're pushing this little bulb to squeeze the air into this cuff. Well, good news is you no longer have to use all that. You only need one electronic blood pressure cuff, which is just two pieces of equipment, a cuff with a tube already built in and a little small electrical device that you plug the tube in and that's it. That's all you have to do. Push the button to turn the electrical device on, and then your blood pressure is taken. Now, let's go into how that should happen. What exactly you need to do to make that happen, okay? So it's important that when you're going to have your blood pressure taken, that you want to make sure that you are relaxed in a calm position to have that blood pressure taken. You want to be in a calm position. In other words, you want to be sitting with both feet on the floor, okay? Both feet on the floor. You want to have, preferably you want to sit back in the chair and have your back up against the back of the chair. You want to sit up straight, both feet on the floor. Ideally, you want to sit and just sort of rest for a few minutes. I'd say roughly about 5 minutes, but just basically clear your mind for about 5 minutes or so, okay? And then after doing that, you want to make sure that you are not stressed, that you're not thinking about anything or thinking about something you have to do. You just want to take a good 5 minutes to just relax. And as you relax, You want to also, you want to make sure that if you have to go to the bathroom, to do that before you take your blood pressure, you know, just go so that you don't have anything. You don't have to get up and run away or whatever. Do not have your cell phone with you. You know, put it in the other room or whatever. So let me go over this again. When you're going to take your blood pressure, sit quietly in a chair with both feet on the floor for about 5 minutes before you start. Clear your mind, okay? Just relax. If you need to empty your bladder, do all that before you have to take your blood pressure. As you sit and do that, then you take your blood pressure quietly. And again, all you need to do is push the button. You don't have to pump anything like that. The machine will then squeeze the arm as the air inflates the cuff, use a few seconds, and then it will deflate. And then it will record what your blood pressure and pulse are. That's all you have to do. The recommendation is that you should do that twice a day. You should do it in the morning and you should do it in the evening. Why? Because the blood pressure changes during the day. Okay? Many studies have suggested that it's usually going to be higher in the morning and lower in the evening, but it may vary. And one of the things that's important is that each of us as an individual person is a little different. So what works for your friend may not work for you in terms of time and the effect it has on your blood pressure, et cetera, et cetera. That's why we need good data, quality data on your blood pressure on a daily basis. And quite honestly, you, the patient, the person, is the only one who can provide that. You're the only one who can provide quality data about your blood pressure on a daily basis. Okay? And so the most important data about your blood pressure, the most important measurements are the measurements you do at home or where you spend most of your time. Many of you have probably heard about the term white coat syndrome. And white coat syndrome mainly refers to, a patient who works every day. She has a doctor's appointment, so she gets in her car, runs to the doctor's appointment, comes into your office. She's got another meeting at 1 o'clock, so she's got to get back. So she rushes in, sees you for whatever her medical problem is. As a part of her vital check, your staff checks her blood pressure, and her blood pressure is a little up, right? Well, that's not what she does every single day. So many times it's just having to come to a doctor's office or a clinic or a hospital and seeing the white coats or the white jackets or the white uniforms or whatever has created the term the white coat syndrome, and all of us become a little stressed under those circumstances. One, most people don't want to go to a doctor's office, so just the idea that you have to go many times, just the thought is a little stressful. So it's not uncommon then that maybe for a lot of us, that blood pressure may be a little higher than it normally is those other 24 hours, 23 hours a day, as compared to that hour or so that we're in the doctor's office. So that's why the only reliable data about your regular normal blood pressure comes from you. Let me say that again. The only reliable data about your normal regular blood pressure comes from you. So it's very important then that we know how to do this and do it properly, and we do it in the proper manner. That, as you know, normal blood pressure is considered 120 over 80. But as I've mentioned before, keep in mind that the blood pressure changes constantly. And many times, if 120 over 80 is normal blood pressure, then what is considered high blood pressure? And you might be interested to know that that's variable, or it may vary with the physician, it may vary with the patient. Example, if 120 over 80 is completely normal, what is 125 over 80? Is that abnormal? If it's abnormal, is it hypertension? Is it high blood pressure? I think most clinicians, most physicians, healthcare practitioners agree that normally it can be 125, and that by itself may not be considered hypertension. Some call it pre-hypertension, some call it borderline, et cetera. But I think it's probably little doubt that if the systolic is 135 or 130 or above, most people are going to consider that hypertension. And if the diastolic is basically 95 or above, or 90 or above 90, I'm mostly going to consider that hypertension, okay, or high blood pressure. And what does that mean? That means if it's considered high blood pressure, it's going to require treatment. So 120 over 80 is completely normal. If it's slightly above that, some physicians may call that borderline, and you may not need medication. Some may just give you medication anyway. And I think more and more and more physicians who treat high blood pressure are becoming more and more aggressive in terms of treating it, okay? Because the negative effects of hypertension are so horrible that it's better to not get there or to prevent it if at all possible, okay? So let me quickly recap what I just said. When you take the most reliable blood pressure measurements come from you, the patient. Why? Because you're with yourself 100% of the time. And it's really what that blood pressure is most of the time that you're experiencing that the physicians are most interested in. And you're the only one that can do that or that can collect that data, right? And so the recommendation is that you do it at least twice a day, in the morning, in the afternoon. And that you have sort of a quiet time before. You don't just run and say, oh, I gotta check my blood pressure, and you quickly sit down and check it, because obviously it's going to be a little high, right? And that may not be a good representation of what your blood pressure is. So you want to take some time, minimum 5 minutes, sit down, both feet on the floor, sit with your back up against the back of the chair. I close my eyes, or you can close your eyes or whatever, but just sort of meditate for about 5 minutes. If you have to go to the bathroom, do that before you get ready to take your blood pressure. Okay, and then take your blood pressure with the electronic cuff. If you have one of those old, if you're using a stethoscope, you're too old school. Go to the pharmacy or maybe even in some of your doctor's offices and purchase a good, simple electronic blood pressure set. And I recommend that you, when you get your blood pressure set or the one that you're using, take it to your doctor's office. Do your blood pressure in his or her office and make sure that your blood pressure is accurate in terms of what they check. It's sort of a good double quality check, if you will. And then, you know, make sure that you're using the right type of blood pressure cuff for your body habit. So there's no question that in terms of if one does have high blood pressure or is hypertensive, there are different ways to treat it. Obviously, like with everything else, stress management, exercise, and good sleep are helpful in keeping your blood pressure lower and keeping you outside of the hypertension range. And along with that, obviously goes with eating properly, fruits and vegetables, avoiding trans fats, avoiding alcohol, and avoiding smoking. Okay, real basic stuff that you already know. But the main point I want to emphasize with our discussion today is that you and you alone almost are the most accurate source of what your blood pressure is regularly on a daily basis. So you want to understand how to do that. You want to get the right equipment, a little simple blood pressure cuff. I think they're about $20 or $30 in the pharmacy, or depending on where you get them. Double check that blood pressure cuff with your doctor or the clinic that you go to make sure it's working. Or if you aren't sure how to use it, take it to them and have them show you how to use it. And keep a record. When you check your blood pressure, morning and afternoon, when you do it, write it down, date, blood pressure. Most of these little blood pressure cuffs or machines will also give you a pulse. Write that down also. There's certainly no harm with that. Okay? If you do have high blood pressure, and if it is in the range that is called hypertension, you probably will be put on medication. There are different types of blood pressure medication, and indeed one of the challenges, if you will, of managing blood pressure, both on the physician side and on the patient side, is that you have to be able to navigate the different medications and know what the pros are and the cons are, and to make sure there's not cross-reactivity between them and any other medicines that you may very well be taking. But one of the things I really, really want to emphasize again is that each of us is different. Patients are different. So again, medication that your friend is on or that your family member is on, and they may have high blood pressure, may not be the same medication that you're on, because the type of medication is specifically tailored to that individual patient and his or her healthcare needs. And understandably, you should never take other people's blood pressure medicine, nor should you ever give other people your blood pressure medicine. I don't care what it says on the label. Do not do that, because that is asking for a complication or problem to occur. Many times, the effect of the blood pressure on us has to do with our lifestyles, and that has to do many times with our personality. Some of us are go-getters, and we just jump out front, and we just go. Others are more laid back, et cetera. But stress can occur in both groups. It can occur in both groups. So you want to be aware of the impact of stress on your health and how that can be translated into your blood pressure. Blood pressure, again, is a serious problem that affects many different parts of the body. It can affect many different organ systems in the body. It can cause strokes. It can cause blindness. It can cause heart attacks, kidney failure, et cetera, as we've mentioned previously. So just be aware of that. Just be aware of that. But the good news is, though, a lot of this is in our control, meaning in the patient's control, right? By doing your part to measure your own blood pressure on a regular basis, writing the numbers down, being a good partner with your healthcare team, or being an active part of your healthcare team, ends up being win-win. It helps others to be able to take care of you, and it works to help you take better care of yourself. So it is important for you to get regular checkups. If you don't have any particular healthcare problems and it's just a matter of getting a regular physical, please do that, because your body changes over time, as you, I'm sure, we're well aware. So please be aware of that. One other thing, too, before we finish, do not beat yourself up if you have high blood pressure. And what I mean by that is that sometimes in our society, we tend to, and particularly if you listen to the media or you listen to other people, et cetera, who are not medical, many times they will come up with reasons why people have high blood pressure, and reasons why people are obese, and reasons why people are diabetic. My point, very simple, is many times they're wrong. They're completely wrong. So do not listen to non-medical people in terms of why you have high blood pressure, or why you may be obese, or why you may be diabetic, okay? And one of the reasons, in all three of those areas I mentioned, they all have some genetic component. What's my point? My point is that you may exercise every single day and eat the right foods, and you may be a fitness coach, and you may teach others how to do it and been doing it for 20 or 30 years, and still may end up having high blood pressure. And you say, oh my God, why do I have high blood pressure? It may be in your genes. It may be in your genes. So my point, very simple, is that many of our healthcare conditions are not 100% related to lifestyle. Genetics is a huge factor in many, if not most, of our healthcare conditions. And so just keep that in mind. Okay. So in summary, hypertension is a very common medical problem, is a very serious and a very dangerous medical problem, one that requires immediate care and immediate management. You, the patient, are the most reliable person to provide data, your own personal individual data, about the status of your blood pressure. Because it is what your blood pressure is outside of the doctor's office many times that's more important as compared to what it is for those 15 minutes that you might be in a stressful doctor's office. So get in the habit of doing that. Work with your healthcare delivery team, your physician, nursing, and others to help you to do that and take that information to you with you to your doctor's appointment on a regular basis. Maybe you don't have high blood pressure or hypertension, but there may be someone in your home who does. Maybe your spouse, maybe you're a child, maybe a parent or a grandparent. So just be aware of that and be able to help others and take this information that we've communicated today and communicate it to others. I always like to encourage you to look up information online. Certainly, your healthcare professional or the hospital or healthcare clinic that you use will almost invariably have literature. But certainly, you can use them. You can go to any search engine on your phone or computer and just type in whatever your query is, and many times the information or the answers will come. I always like to end with my basic principles, and my first basic principle is God is in charge. God is in charge of my life, and as a physician and an individual over 70 years of age, has helped me sustain all the things that have occurred and are still occurring one form or another. Second principle is I have no bad days. I figured out the days were good or bad if I said they were. And so I no longer say they are, so they are not. Third is don't sweat the small stuff, and most stuff is small. I have learned that many times when I become concerned about something, it's usually something that's very small and is certainly not as big a deal as I think it is. And I've learned to sort of try to distinguish between those circumstances. Fourth, forgiveness is therapy. When something happens to you or someone says or does something to you that you believe is negative, forgive them. Don't try to figure out the facts. It's really not important. Just forgive them, and you'll be amazed at how therapeutic that is for you. And fifth and finally, everything is a relationship. Everything is a relationship. Relationships are based on three things: mutual respect, mutual trust, good communication. If you have those three things, you have a great relationship. If you do not have those three things, you have work to do. And finally, be the change that you want to see in the world. Thank you. Have a great day.